Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits. We are so excited that you tuned in with us today, and I think you're going to be grateful because we have some really great new authors with us. We have Christian Bolin. He is the author of Jesus Christ, His Life and Mine. And Christian, welcome to Kingdom Pursuits.
Thank you so much. It's super excited to be here.
And then the little teaser that's on the end of that, how it applies to us in the Twitter era.
Absolutely.
So Jesus, you know, we get to follow Jesus, but how do you kind of quickly take us into what your book's about?
Yeah, sure. So it's intended to make the life of Jesus like a movie, from his birth to his resurrection, and simple to read, not too long, designed for modern readers who increasingly have, you know, less willingness or time to read, and to make it all relevant to today's context. And that's basically it in a nutshell. And that message has really been resonating with folks. There seems to be a real hunger for it.
Yeah, time is a challenge, no doubt. And it's sort of a scary thing. But hopefully, your book can help impact some folks. We're going to get into that. Next up, we have another new author is Jennifer, and I'm going to just say Jennifer. The first time, because I'll let you pronounce your last name for us so I can hear it right at least once.
Yes, Jennifer Imidiegu. So if you think immediate, you're almost there.
Imidiegu. And yes, she is the author of Letters to Her, Becoming a Woman of Purity, Purpose, and a Proverbs 31 Virtue. So yes. How cool is that? And so can you share with us a little bit of what that is?
Yes. Letters to Her really takes the reader on a personal journey and finding her true purpose in God. So it's it focuses on our vertical relationship with Christ and just deepening that and just allowing that spiritual journey to clarify what God created us for. But then no one wants to live alone, right? So it also covers the horizontal relationships as it regards family and friendships, mentoring relationships, and then ultimately the marriage relationship, so that that relationship glorifies God as well. So it's kind of a twofold purpose there, but it's a very unique journey that the reader takes through Letters to Her.
So I'm curious about the title itself, Letters to Her. Where does that kind of come in? How did you come up with that?
Sure. Interestingly, my husband really helped me with the title. So I had written a book and started working with the publisher and everything. And the original title, the publisher said, you know, there's something similar on the market and you just want to be unique and just kind of set yourself apart. So I would encourage you to reconsider the title. And so my husband and I, started brainstorming and praying together. And it was actually his idea to name it Letters to Her. And then I came up with the secondary title there. And it really just draws from the actual format of the book. It's written in the form of letters. And each chapter, as it is written as a letter, is addressed to the reader as Dear Beloved Sister. And at the end of each letter, I sign off growing in his virtue, you know, Jennifer, like every single letter I sign off in consistent with the theme for that particular letter. And so it's just written in a very personal manner and really seeking to connect with the reader that it's a personal letter. And it's we're dealing with personal topics here, and it's not a generic book for I'm speaking to a crowd of people, but I'm speaking to you, the reader, and I just really seek to connect with people in that way.
And Christian, she brings up an interesting point because was this your first book, Christian?
It is, yeah.
And so, Jennifer, I'm assuming it's your first book as well?
Yes.
So here you got all this content that God lays out into your heart like that. Mm-hmm. And now you got to organize it in a way that actually comes into something that's a book. And so the letters to him, obviously, we can see was Jennifer's way. Well, how did you do that, Christian?
Well, my book was over 20 years in the making, and it took a lot of iterations. And, you know, I really appreciated the intro to your program about how God takes ordinary people and shapes us to accomplish his purposes. And I do really strongly feel that way. As a matter of fact, I hesitate to even call it my book. It just makes me wince a bit because I do feel that God shaped me in the circumstances of my life to, A, create the desire and then, the ability to help form it. But it took a while, and I had nearly 100 test readers contribute from different perspectives, and getting great feedback and guidance, and ultimately it just took shape in terms of this movie-like experience of the life of Jesus, combined with commentary like a guided tour, but not trying to replace Scripture, and then coming up with thought-provoking reflection questions to help the reader really assimilate what Jesus was like, and so what would I do? You know, taking the what would Jesus do question and just turning it a bit. What would I do? And that structure really unfolded over the last several iterations, over the last maybe 5 years, and it just worked. It resonated, and I really felt God's hand shaping that.
Yeah, and for both Jennifer and Christian, I think that there are, you know, lots of people listening today that, you know, they feel God's tug to, right, take their passion. They have a passion about something they've given, content, and then how do I organize that? And then I know a lot of people listening would be curious how you found a publisher what was that process, Christian?
Oh, yeah. So it is tough to get the so-called traditional publishing contract. And I'm so grateful. This is another thing I just felt God's hand in. I felt strongly moved to go to a conference last summer in Nashville, and I was introduced to Larry Carpenter, who's a former executive at Thomas Nelson and Zondervan, just has an incredible background, super well-respected man who created his own company to help authors get there quicker. And so just quick plug for Larry and his team, that they are just fantastic. And as soon as, you know, we started talking, it just felt right. And, you know, I think so the self-publishing route is very appealing, but you need a lot of guidance. There's a ton of stuff that you need to know. And, you know, finding a partner, somebody like Carpenter Sun Publishing, which is the name of the company, was very, very important.
All right. Well, we have a third guest with us that we finally just got connected with today, and that is Julie Knox. And Julie is an old friend and been on the show many times. She is with OM Ships, which is this amazing mission organization that goes out in ships across the world. And right, Julie, and lately Logos Hope has just celebrated their 10th anniversary, right?
That's right, Rolly. Hello. It's lovely to be back on your show again. You're correct. OM Ships has run 4 ships since 1970. We're part of the global organization Operation Mobilization. And that's right, we're celebrating the fact that this week our 4th and biggest vessel that we've had has been in service with us for 10 years now in mission service around the world.
And what's really cool for me personally is Julie plays on Christian Carguy Theater, one of the voices, because how could you not capitalize on this voice that she has? So if you listen to Christian Carguy Theater, you go, you know, that sounds awfully familiar. Well, that's because it's the voice of Julie, who I met at the NRB a number of years ago, and what a delight it is to hear what OM Ships is doing. So we're going to hear a lot about OM Ships, and you might be thinking, Robbie, what about a riddle? Yes, I have a riddle. But because we were struggling to get Julie connected, you know, we have to wait until the next segment to give you the riddle. So we're going to have to tease you a little bit on that. I am so delighted to have with us today Christian Bowen, Jennifer, and Miyu. We're going to give you all that stuff. If you go to kingdompursuits.com, you can see their books, find out more about OM Ships. So stay tuned. So much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming at you. We'll be right back. Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we are so blessed to have with us a couple of authors today and a sailor. we have Jennifer Amediego. Say it one more time for me, Jennifer.
Yes, Jennifer Amediego.
Amediego. Isn't that so cool, man? That is a great name. And she's the author of Letters to Her. I just love that title, Becoming a Woman of Purity, Purpose, and Proverbs 31, Virtue. And we also have Christian Bolin, and he is the author of Jesus Christ, His Life and Mine, the story of Jesus Christ and how it applies to us in the Twitter era. And of course, Julie Knox with OM Ships, with Logos Hope, celebrating their 10 years of ministry. As I mentioned as we went into the break, you can find out about all that and so much more at kingdompursuits.com. You can order their book. And by the way, if you get it on Amazon, by all means, there's nothing like an encouragement to a new author to go in and give them 5 stars and tell them what you liked about the book and those kind of things. It's very, very, very encouraging because, you know, just think how the courage it takes to put yourself out there and do that kind of thing. But I knew we had to get to a riddle today, don't we? So speaking, you know, of sails, because we got the Logos Hope, right? It's a sailing ship. So speaking of sails, I don't know if you ever thought about that, but certain ship captains would be considered sales managers, right? I don't know if you heard of this one, Julie. Now that they have developed polyurethane sails for boats, I guess it's clear sailing from here on. Just, you know, if you think about that, if you're a sailor, it's making sense to you. And the young sailors on Logos Hope think it, you know, all the waves are just swell. Did you like how I timed that to the bump bump at the second I said that? But anyway, and this is my personal favorite of those I devised this morning. If a baby is born on board Logos Hope, right, they have to be careful not to clip the umbilical cord with a naval destroyer. You're not laughing, Julie. What are we? You didn't think it was funny? Come on now. She's still not laughing. All right. Well, I thought it was funny. So with all those shenanigans being said, which apostle, though he could barely see, was surely seaworthy? So there's the actual riddle, which you can call in and win today at 866-348-7884. Which apostle, though he could barely see, was surely seaworthy? 866-348-7884. And if you can guess that, tell them what they'll win.
Well, they can win tickets to the Wake Forest versus Miami basketball game on Tuesday, February 26th.
Wow, that's just next Tuesday. Thank you, Rachel. So you call in 866-348-7884 and tell us which apostle, though he could barely see, was surely seaworthy. And Julie, although I'm not tickling your sense of humor today, and undoubtedly, you're in South Carolina today. Usually, you may tell that Julie's not from South Carolina, but is Logos Hope in the United States now?
No. South Carolina is actually where we have our amazing literature warehouse. It's so cool that I'm sharing your show today with two authors, because Logos Hope is the world's largest floating bookstore. And we actually receive a whole lot of books that Christian publishers and other networks have sent to us that we are able to use in ministry and supply at very discounted prices in communities around the world who may not otherwise get such good quality literature. And South Carolina, Florence to be exact, is where our warehouse is, where we have volunteers from all over the world who come to pack the books and serve in ministry with us. And then we send those by container out to whichever port the ship is in to meet the ship, restock the ship. And she sells those 5,000 different titles wherever she is. And Logos Hope is currently in the port of Lirkin in Chile, which is quite near the town of Concepcion.
And so now you've struck my curiosity. And I thought I knew a lot about OM ships, but I guess I never thought about that angle. That are a lot of your books then in Spanish and different languages as you visit those ports?
That's right, indeed. Yes, whenever the ship changes its location, we have to change the stock of the books that we're carrying. Absolutely. We had a big fundraising drive and initiative to restock a lot of our book fair in Spanish language literature. And later this year, when we head up into Brazil, of course, we'll need to have Portuguese literature on offer as well that we can offer to the visitors who come on board. And as we're celebrating our 10th anniversary of Logos Hope this week, let me just tell you that we counted up that in that decade of ministry, Logos Hope has had more than 8 million books purchased on board. And we praise God that almost 2.5 million of them were Christian books and Bibles.
Isn't that amazing, Jennifer, as you're thinking about your book? How long has it been out now, Jennifer?
Yes, January 1st was the release date, so very, very new to the market, and I've just been so excited, the feedback that I've gotten from those who have purchased the book, how it's encouraging their relationship with God and their walk and their journey, and so far good, off to a really strong start.
So it's amazing to me that, you know, your book will be in English, and so Logos Hope could distribute that in South Africa? You know, where they speak English, or in Australia, or obviously in England and those kind of places. It, you know, God gave you letters to her, and now you could literally be touching lives internationally as he's taken what he gave you. And I think you'll think that this is true since your book's been out a little bit. Have you noticed that something you really didn't think maybe when you wrote it was all that significant, but somebody's coming to you and saying, you know, this chapter right here, this that you wrote right there really just spoke to me here, because God's kind of directing where that goes into the heart that it's going to go to.
True, true indeed. And this whole journey has been just that the whole process of being obedient. I certainly did not set out to be an author. That wasn't my goal when I was a kid. You know, when I grow up, I want to be an author. I'm actually an attorney, and I've realized that God has used those same vocational talents of research and writing and public speaking and being an advocate for people and using that for his kingdom purposes of, you know, reaching women for Christ. And so it's been a very interesting journey, and I'm just so grateful that I was able to submit to God's will, because I certainly had those Jonah moments where, you know, it's like, you know, this is scary. You know, there's that vulnerability aspect of sharing your story or, you know, just public speaking. Are they going to like it? Are they going to receive it? But at the end of the day, I said, Lord, you know, if this is your will, you know, please open doors, you know, the whole publishing team, all of those things coming together, and then opportunities to reach women. And so I am just so humbled that, you know, just to see this come together, and I know it's just the beginning.
That is really cool. Really cool. So Christian, Jennifer is an attorney. That's her day job, so to speak. I'm curious about yours, because I'm guessing that you're not at the point where being an author is paying the bills.
No, that's right. Yeah, and I can very much relate to what you just shared, Jennifer. So my day job, I've been involved in education and training for the last 30 years, specifically corporate training for almost 20. And my formal education is in communications, and specifically what they call instructional design. So crafting learning materials that are appropriate for a particular audience, you know, typically in an adult work place environment, with a focus on helping people to actually change their behavior. You know, not just knowledge for the sake of knowledge, you know, education in the generic sense, but really a very targeted approach. And I think that mindset really, I mean, that's one of those things that I see as the hand of God preparing me for something that was far more important than my corporate clients, as much as I care about them. It was to craft something that would really, you know, instill the light of Jesus Christ in such a way that would motivate and inspire and enable, you know, becoming a new creature.
Yeah, I was reading something recently that God plants us. You know, I think it was actually a sermon by Spurgeon, and he was talking about the Isaiah passage where, you know, the vine that he had planted, but God specifically knows this is where Christian would grow. This is where Jennifer, this is where Julie would get this. And as he begins to plant you and you bear fruit, it's based on a lot of where you're planted there in the legal world or there in the education world. And in Julie's case, right, Julie, you worked for the BBN, and so your big deal was in communication as well.
The BBC is where
I mean the BBC, not BBN. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I've been a radio and TV journalist. I had 15 years professionally before God called me to serve him in telling the stories of what this mission organization is doing around the world. So exactly that. And I'm not stopping being surprised at how things he planted in me, experiences he gave me in years gone by, are now bearing fruit as I'm coaching a team that we have on board the ship right now for volunteers. You know, they come to serve the Lord often after school or before starting a job. So they're young, they're not so experienced, but they want to serve him on board. And they come from all different countries. We've got 400 volunteers who've come from more than 60 up to 70 different nations around the world, a real hub on board. And they're working perhaps not in their first language as well, and they're offering their skills. So I have a journalist on board the ship and two young women taking video, and I'm able to coach them in what they're doing based on my experience.
Wow. Well, let me remind you again that you can find Christian's book, that's Jesus Christ, His Life and Mine, and Jennifer's book, Letters to Her, I love that title, I love both titles actually, at kingdompursuits.com, as well as more on OM ships and how you can get connected with them. Go to kingdompursuits.com. We got so much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. I am very excited. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And it's really amazing to me how every week God provides us with amazing examples of that. Today we have Christian Bolin and Jennifer. We have Jennifer. You would think I could say it. I can't say it. We have Christian and Jennifer. They're both authors. Jennifer's book is Letters to Her, and Christian's book is Jesus Christ, His Life and Mine, along with Julie Knox, one of my favorite characters in Christian Cargill Theater and a good friend. I'm so glad she's here on stateside that we can talk to her today. She's in the Florence Book Warehouse, which I guess I didn't even realize that there was a book warehouse down there. But while I have all three of you, and when I read Jennifer's title, I was intrigued and with something that I've thought about once. But before I say that, let me remind our listeners that we have this riddle that is yet to be riddled. We have tickets to give away to a Wake Forest Miami game on Tuesday. All you have to do is tell us, and I really thought this one was easy, which apostle, though he could barely see, was surely see worthy? Which apostle... Which, you know, that narrows it down to 12 guys. though he could barely see, was surely seaworthy. 866-348-7884. So I'm going to ask Jennifer originally, but then I want to get Christian's take on this, and I want to get Julie's take on it. And especially Jennifer, because it's in the title of her book, and she's also an attorney. So I love that. So she can tell me if I'm out of bounds. Which I'm often out of bounds, but here's what I've given this a lot of thought over the years, and I have come to the conclusion that a lot of people misinterpret Proverbs 31. But like so many things in the Bible, it applies to a lot of things, and there's more than one angle on a way to look at it. But if I am, in fact, the bride of Christ, that's me, Robbie Dillmore, and you, Jennifer, and you, Christian, then doesn't Proverbs 31 really apply to me? Because as the bride of Christ, shouldn't I be, right, selecting wool and flax? Shouldn't I be like merchant ships, bringing in substance from afar? Shouldn't I be doing all those things even though I'm a man? And, of course, we got ships in there for Julie, but... She girds herself with strength and invigorates her arms. She discerns business as good. Her lamp is never gone out. In other words, all these things, if you look at those and I am the bride of Christ, doesn't that really apply to everybody?
Sure. I think that there's that's certainly a very appropriate and unique perspective. I think the common and traditional view of that passage has much to do with the wife and preparing to be a godly woman and taking care of the home, and as well as being active in the community and making an impact in other people's lives. When I think of a comparable passage, I'm reminded of there's the passage that talks about men preparing to be elders, and I think it's in both Titus and Timothy. I don't have the scripture pulled right at this moment. However, when you look at that that passage that has to do with men preparing to be pastors or elders, it doesn't necessarily have to have that very narrow focus that if you're going into vocational ministry, preaching from a pulpit, then this is applicable. I think that's applicable to any man striving to be a godly man and to have, you know, to be the husband of one wife.
I love that. I love that. That's well, now you just gave me more expansion. I love that. So I got to go to Christian, buddy. Are you ready to pull my man card?
Okay.
So, you know, clearly you're a study of the word, and I don't know what your thoughts on that.
Well, I certainly don't know Proverbs 31 as well as Jennifer, but I love the metaphor of us being the bride and Christ being the bridegroom. There's so much richness there. And what comes to my mind, I guess, from the perspective of my own book and what I'm trying to help people experience is this, that you can't really love your spouse if you don't know them, if you don't come to see them for who they really are. And, you know, we can't love Christ as the bridegroom if we haven't really gotten that experience. And that's why, for me, you know, the gospel just didn't really connect when I was younger. And it wasn't until I truly immersed myself in the life of Jesus and experienced that I grew to admire and understand his true identity, his greatness, and love him, and truly have that experience where, you know, I want to be faithful to the bridegroom.
That's beautiful. And I couldn't agree with you more. That, you know, there's this second psalm has challenged me for years. It says, you know, kiss the son lest he gets angry. Well, you know, that just isn't real appealing to a man.
Right.
And so, you know, and I, you know, it really just provoked me to find that was worthy of me wanting to just fall in his arms and kiss him. And and that's exactly what you're talking about. But Julie, I didn't want to leave you out of the discussion as you were thinking about those merchant ships from afar. You know all about that.
You know, I'm just listening to these two authors and thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great to have them come on board our ship and teach our community? We were really blessed by having had some authors visit the ship last year whose books are on sale there and whose material the young people are reading and as they're teaching and training themselves. Randy Alcorn visited our vessel.
Really?
Philip Yancey.
Wow. Mm.
And it was my pleasure to interview Philip Yancey especially and get his take on coming to see this mission ship and see how these young people from all over the world are sharing the hope of Christ in communities, and they are mobilizing others in churches around the world into mission. And they've provided a perspective, I guess, on the state of Christianity globally. You know, I think it surprised Philip Yancey particularly that he was sitting next to someone from Russia who wanted to learn Spanish because the ship was going to Latin America. And he had, you know, from what he had heard, churches were dying out in places around the world. And he was surprised then to meet our crew members who come from those places. We've got Christians from all sorts of places that maybe it's not even appropriate to mention that missionaries are being sent from those places. But we'd love certainly to have people come on board our community and give seminars and teach our young people and for us to learn from them and share their books around.
That is awesome. Well, I have got really great news. We have Karen is in Chapel Hill, and Karen thinks she has an answer to our riddle. Karen, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Hi, Robbie. I'm calling on behalf of my husband, who gets the riddle but is too shy to be on the radio. but of course, I'm not too shy for that because I love it.
Well, thank you, Karen.
Okay. Alrighty, Robbie. My husband, Wayne, says that the answer is Peter because he was the only one that was seaworthy.
Wow. I love that. I love the idea.
I mean,
I'm proud of Wayne, too, because Peter was seaworthy in so many different ways. I don't know that he meets the criteria of the others couldn't see well, but he definitely was seaworthy. So we're going to give it to Wayne, and we're going to send you out the book, of course. I was thinking of another apostle, but I love the idea of Peter, and he was certainly, you know, one of my absolute favorite stories about Peter is when he sees Jesus in the boat, and he throws off his clothes and jumps in the water. You know, yeah. He actually throws on his clothes, I guess, and jumps in the water because, you know, he has a chance to go see Jesus on the beach, and he's running up there, fish is cooking, and, you know, can you imagine your own response, Karen, or my response if you were sitting there and you look and you see Jesus waiting for you on the beach? How long would it take you to get out of the boat and into the water, do you think?
Oh, man, the comfort of all comforts, having Jesus cook for us.
That's so cool. Well, Karen, thank you for calling in. And somebody
God
else
bless you.
Can win. Thank you. God bless you. You just call us, 866-348-7884. So much more Kingdom Pursuits. Again, go to kingdompursuits.com, order these books, and check out OM Ships. It's all there, kingdompursuits.com. We got so much coming up. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we're so blessed to have with us Julie Knox with OM Ships and Logos Hope, celebrating their 10 years of ministry. Christian Bolin is the author of Jesus Christ, His Life and Mine, the story of Jesus Christ and how it applies to us in the Twitter era. And Jennifer Emitigu, I'm going to get it yet, author of Letters to Her, Becoming a Woman of Purity, Purpose, and Proverbs 31 Virtue. We have Angela is in Burlington. She's got an answer for our riddle. Angela, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Well, maybe not. There she is. Angela.
I was wondering if the apostle was Thomas.
Thomas!
Because when Jesus first appeared to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. So it's kind of like maybe his belief was wavering.
Now, that's a fascinating. I love that answer, Angela. Because you're right, he didn't have the faith to see like the other. I'm going to give it to you. That's awesome.
So is
S-E-E-worthy
instead of S-E-A-worthy.
Not exactly what I had in mind, but nonetheless, a great answer and very thoughtful on your part, Angela. So God bless you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in today. I got to get to a bunch of stuff real quick, so I'm going to have to cut you off. But I hate that because you're one of my favorite people.
If nobody gets your answer, Please tell us at the end.
I'm going to tell you. Believe me, I will. I will. God bless.
Okay.
Thank you, Angela.
Thanks, Robbie.
We have Ken is in Colfax, but I can't get you. There he is. We're going to get to him. Ken, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Do you know who the apostle was?
I'm sorry.
I'm talking to you. Ken, have you got an answer for us?
I was listening to your assistant, and I didn't know if the lady gave the right answer or not.
She did. She gave an answer, and I thought it could be right under certain circumstances, but not the one I was thinking.
Well, you know, you kind of threw us a little bit. We said there was only 12. The answer, Apostle Paul, you know, he was blinded on the road to Damascus, and a lot of people believe that was his thorn. You know, it affected his eyesight the rest of his life. You know, the letters to Galatians.
You got it.
Of course, we know his sea. He was shipwrecked 5 times.
Yeah, he was seaworthy. You got it right. God bless you, Ken. You're exactly right. Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it. I but I got so much to do in such a short period of time. But I love Ken too, one of my favorite callers. But I want to get to Jennifer real quick. And Jennifer, I know we don't have but a couple minutes left, so I want to get Christian in here as well. But I know people are interested in your book. What's one little excerpt about your book you can hardly wait till people read?
Jennifer? I'm sorry, Robbie, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I said, what's one of your favorite excerpts in the book that you can just hardly wait till people read this? What is that?
Yes, well, I guess the whole book is my favorite, but letter number 8 is really that culminating chapter. It's entitled Refreshed for a New Beginning, and it's just very quickly, it's after you've gone through that journey of really deepening your relationship with God and living that out with your horizontal relationships and building up a marriage that's really honoring to God, then we have that choice before us daily of, you know, are we going to live that passionate life and serve God and you know, with reckless abandon? It's like, God, here I am. Use me for your glory. Or are we going to shrink back? And that choice is before us daily. And that's really kind of like that culminating punchline of, you know, here I am, and Lord, use me for your glory, and I'm here, and I'm submitted to you. And I just, you know, hope that the women who pick up the book will take that personal journey and deepen their faith.
I love that. Letter number 8. I'm excited about that because I have the book, and now I need
to. Right, so,
same question to you, Christian. What's the part of your book that you could just hardly wait till people read?
All right. Well, I'm glad I had a second to think about that. So the last chapter, I think, is very powerful, and the reason I like it so much is because it's designed for folks who are skeptical or struggling with their faith. And, you know, I really like the segment that we played in this program from John MacArthur earlier around, you know, being kind and not being judgmental. One thing that I really strive to do, and I feel the book has accomplished it, is to create a loving tone that is patient and that nurtures people along to help them, you know, find the faith in Jesus at the pace that they're ready for. And this final chapter really presents a lot of logical arguments that are designed for folks who tend to be skeptical. And it's really one of the themes throughout the book is believing on Jesus with all your heart on a daily basis and how that gradually fills you with light, changes you from the inside out.
That's wonderful. Yeah, can you imagine being in heaven and there's going to be these people there, Jennifer and Christian, that read your book and they went, this is what helped God use to turn the light on. Because certainly that's happened to me with a lot of books. Julie, we will give you a last minute to share what you think people need to know about Logos Hope.
Well, the ship is just so delighted that God has been gracious over 10 years of ministry. 8 million people have come up our gangways, and we've made all these port calls. We've sailed 100,000 nautical miles, which is almost 4.5 times around the world. And God is still preserving, still impacting lives in the communities that our volunteers are touching even today. And we praise Him, and we're excited to see what's happening next.
Right. Well, I need to ask one more time. KingdomPursuits.com. You're going to find these wonderful books. You can find out more about OM Ships. And I am just personally grateful that you spent time with us today on Kingdom Pursuits. Now you got so much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. Come and encouraging prayer right now.